welcome to the second episode of the Cookfield podcast. In this episode, we go deep under Cookfield, well, 15 feet to be exact, to see what life would have been like for the Royal Observer Corps in their bunker if the bomb had dropped.
Well, there's one quite close to Cookfield, isn't
there? Yeah, there you go.
If that had been real, I mean, how would Cookfield have fared?
What, if it had dropped at Horsham?
Yes.
You wouldn't have been much left of Cookfield.
And earlier this month, we dropped into the rehearsals for Cookfield Carries On Through the Ages at the Queen's Hall. First, we love to visit the many markets in the village, and this time it's the turn of the Cookfield Crafts and Market, where I had my eye on somebody's cupcake.
That looks really nice. What have you got there? That looks really, really good. What have you got? Who made that lovely cake?
The lady from Cupfins made the lovely cake. The lady from Cupfins, who comes and does our tea room every month.
Oh, wow, and I can smell the bacon as well. That smells really, really good.
The cheese scones are just as yummy, trust me. You can't get away from the cheese scrums.
Oh, we're sitting here and it just smells so nice. I'm with Beverly. Hello, Beverly. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And it's nice of you to come up and visit us, our market.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Wasn't too much effort, just a little cycle up the hill. That was a lot of effort, I have to say. How long have you been doing this for?
We're in our 16th year now. We've been going 16 years. And a lot of the stallholders are still from the original pack that started off with us, but each year we get new and more exciting things that come up. Yeah.
So are most of the stallholders Cookfield people, or do you get people from further afield?
I think we've probably got half the people are Cookfield people and the rest are from further afield, all mid-Sussex though.
Right, there's a real sort of diversity of things being sold out there in the hall I see today. What would you say is the most unusual thing that you, unusual stall that you have here in terms of what's being sold? Have you had anything really quirky and unusual?
I think this month, if you've had a look round, you've probably seen the little merino dogs.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think they're probably our most quirky to date, really. We've had everything from hedgehogs made out of the pine cones, which are fairly sort of traditional crafts, but merino dogs I've never had before, certainly not.
So if someone wants to have a stall here, how do they get hold of you?
They can go on Facebook and find our Facebook page, Cookfield Crafts and Markets, or they can look me up in Living Magazine, or they can find me on the notice board at the Queen's Hall.
Okay, which brings me to ask you, when are you going to have some more, just so people know when to come along?
Our next market is September the 20th, October the 11th, November the 8th, and December the 13th.
Can I ask you what your favourite thing that's being sold? I mean, I know you don't want to be too preferential, but you know, what's special for you? What would you go for if you were shopping here?
I think I would definitely go for the stall Raven's Crown Emporium, which is a Cookfield based stall. Their Pamper products are just to die for. You pop one in your bath, jump in those bubbles, and you just sail away to heaven. It's just lovely.
I'm Lindy Elphick, the current mayor of Cookfield, and you're listening to the Cookfield podcast.
If you're of a certain age, you probably remember being more than a little worried about the possibility of nuclear war. It didn't help that the government at one point was taking it all very seriously and producing booklets about what to do if the bomb did drop. In a field in Cookfield, not far from the church, is a Royal Observer Corps post, or nuclear bunker. Mark Russell and Ed Coombs decided to restore it to its former glory, as it was before it was decommissioned. Every month during the summer, they have open days where you can have a good look round and they'll tell you all about it. I decided to go and see for myself.
I'm just about to go down
It's about 15 foot.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mark. I'll be up in a sec.
Okay.
The Observer Corps itself dates back to World War One. That you'd have a load of guys, volunteers usually, would be looking out for like Zeppelin raids and so on. So that was the sort of first part that the Observer Corps came into form. It really became a huge part to the UK during World War Two when it became the Royal Observer Corps, that these guys were the eyes and ears of the RAF. That if you watch any sort of World War Two film like Battle of Britain and so on, you see guys with binoculars looking out for German aircraft coming over. They would be looking out for, as I say, German aircraft coming over with bombers and so on, and they would look at how high the aircraft were, how many they were, what direction they were going in. This was a very busy Observer Corps site here, particularly because as soon as the bombers came over the South Downs, the next point of navigation was that spire up there. So it was quite a busy one, that they would constantly be having the aircraft coming back and forwards over here as well. As I say, it was every 7 to 8 miles, so there was a huge amount of people that were involved in it. And they were actually based, you can't see it anymore, unfortunately, because they've demolished it, but you can just see the footings of the aircraft post, that they'd have a big thing on stilts with a concrete thing on top, which you can see there's pictures of it in the post underground as well, so you can have a look at it. It was demolished, I think, in the 1970s, but that's where they would be on top of. So end of World War II, the threat then was further east towards the Soviet Union, and the thoughts were that was that the next war was going to be a nuclear war rather than sort of conventional bombing. And the government needed, and the Ministry of Defence needed, a way to find out what was happening on the ground in the event of a nuclear war. So the Observer Corps already had a setup of group headquarter bunkers. It already had sites throughout the UK. So they were given the task of monitoring any nuclear attack. So they would monitor how many bombs had fallen, how powerful they were, where they'd fallen, and then once that had all happened, they would also monitor the fallout, the radiation. So they would have equipment up here that would monitor how powerful the radiation was and what direction it was going in, so that they could try and warn the population. This is where your 4-minute warning comes from, is these bunkers, that with the equipment that you'll see on the wall, that would have an alarm signal go through, which would come from a place called Filingdales, which is up in Yorkshire, and that was where they would monitor over to the east, so that as soon as there was a launch of missiles, they would put this alarm out to all the bunkers, police stations, fire stations and so on. So they'd then come up and they'd start the sirens up as well, and we usually have up here the sirens and everything else as well, because of the weather we've left that all. You'd have a three-man or and lady team that would be based here, but they wouldn't be based here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was a bit of a volunteer service funded by the RAF. So they'd come down on like a Tuesday night and do an exercise and just check everything worked, and then then they'd go down the pub very quickly. They were regular haunts here to the pub just round the corner, apparently. So there was a very big social aspect to the Observer Corps. Everyone I've spoken to, it's more that this was very much having a bit of fun, a very serious undertone to it, but there was a bit more of a social aspect to it.
Were the people that were manning this particular post, were they from Cookfield or the local area?
They would have been local. Yeah, they're all local volunteers. So I've actually got the last crew that were based here, I've got up on the wall downstairs, and most of them are Burgess Hill, Haywards Heath, that area. So and one Cookfield resident. Yeah, so it'd be because you'd have to be close enough to get to the post quickly. 1990 September 91, these were all stood down. The Berlin Wall had come down, the Soviet Union had collapsed, so we had a very different it was becoming a very different world, and this was costing the Ministry of Defence a huge amount of money, as you can imagine. We still have nuclear monitoring, and we still have ways of monitoring for radiation and so on, but the threat is more terrorism now, rather. Yes, we've got North Korea and that sort of thing, but that's a very long way away to get to here, so it's more terrorism and so on. So military bases still do have ways of monitoring for this sort of thing, but you don't need humans to do it like you would have done here as well. After a nuclear war, and I'm talking dozens of nuclear weapons hitting us, 100 times powerful than Hiroshima, that literally, it's horrific to even think about it, that what you do with the people that are left, because you've got no food, you've got no water, you've got no hospitals, sanitation, you've got nuclear winter, which means you can't grow things, so the only people you really want alive are the people that are still able to work the land, and because you're back to the Middle Ages again then, so you can't have millions of us walking around like we have at the moment. There was 1,563 of these built originally. I've visited about 920 odd sites so far, so, but I'd say out of the 900 I've been to, I'd probably say about 200 or 300 are now demolished.
All right, we're going down. It's quite narrow. You can hear beeping down here. I'm just taking my time. Yeah, there's a musty smell down here, but that's quite understandable. Ooh. It opens up a bit. Ah, it's, yeah.
That's your communications equipment on the wall, just up there. That's where your 4-minute warning comes from. That beeping you can hear actually would have come through the wall up there, and it will do the test in a minute.
Would that be going all the time, the beeping?
Yes.
24 hours
this,
a day?
This was something, I think it was called Handle, and it ticked all the way through the Cold War. This is your monitoring, that literally from 60s all the way up until they turned it off. I can't remember the year they turned it off.
Wow.
But it all came from a place called Fylingdales, which is up near Whitby. This was because this was part of the United Kingdom Warning and Monitoring Organisation. So that would all come through from these guys back to the bunkers.
This is a test message for Royal Observer Corps personnel only. Now hear a demonstration of the alarm signal. Test complete. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay.
So that's your that's your 4-minute warning there.
Right.
And that's your way of communicating to the group headquarter bunker, which would have been at Horsham. It's been demolished now. It's
right.
Not there anymore.
It's like a yellow and blue box with British Telecom on it. It's it does look very 80s, doesn't it?
It was called a teletalk, and you just press the button, and it would you could communicate through. And then you've got this is your radiation probe. That comes up through here, goes up like a drain pipe, and that takes a reading of radiation.
Okay. And over here is a bunk bed. Two bunks here.
Yeah, so you'd have a crew of three on duty. So it meant that one could, during the night, one could be on duty in the hot bed so that you can be here. We have slept in the bunker and it's very cosy. And this is all ration packs and so on that you've got down here.
Wow.
You've got some tins here, chocolate, sweets, sausages, margarine. What's this map on the wall here? There's a
That's the extent of the bunkers in 1973. So they closed half of them in 1968.
Right.
And then that's how many that were left. So there was about 700 odd that were left in the from the 70s onwards. So each one of these numbers is a bunker. So we're down here.
There's Cookfield.
Post 50 we are.
Oh, yeah, and there's your triangulation you were telling us about.
That's it. And if you look on the wall behind you here, this is a close-up of the group. So there you go. This was from an exercise of... can you see they've pretended there's nuclear bombs gone off here? So one down near Chichester, well, near Havant.
Okay.
One up here near Farnham, one near Horsham, two near Horsham.
There's one quite close to Cookfield, isn't
there? Yeah, there you go.
If that had been real, I mean, how would Cookfield have fared?
What, if it had dropped at Horsham?
Yes.
You wouldn't have been much left of Cookfield. But yeah, if it had dropped on, one dropped on Horsham, there's not going to be much left here. And even if you did survive the blast, you'd probably get a lethal dose of fallout as well. So for those who aren't sure on the fallout, what it does is, when you see the mushroom cloud, it drags the earth up with it into the cloud, and when it comes back down, it comes as radioactive dust, in effect, which is completely lethal to humans. And you can't see it, it's invisible. So that would probably kill more people than the blast, because if you did survive it, you're probably more likely then to get a big dose of radiation. So that was more of a concern, was the radiation than the actual blast. The loo is just in that room in there. I wouldn't use it.
Right.
It's a chemical toilet with original government issue toilet paper. That's your toilet paper.
It looks a bit like the old school toilet paper, doesn't it? It's very rough.
And government property on it.
Government property on it in case someone made off with it.
There you lose in there.
Right. It's bigger than I thought it would be inside.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't like to be down here for 2 weeks. Not knowing what's... Well, you do know what's going on. That's the thing. You do know what's happening up there because you're monitoring it. So you're not living in blissful ignorance down here, are you? So.
No, totally. No,
you wouldn't want to, would you?
The only time they did have to leave the bunker after a blast was to change the photographic paper. On the top, there's something called a ground zero indicator, which was like a big bread bin that would sit on the top by the hatch. And after the flash, it would burn into the photographic paper. And then observer number three would have to run up the ladder, open the hatch, get the photographic paper, change it, and they were told to quickly have a look at the mushroom cloud if they could, and then come back down into the bunker with the photographic paper with the burn on it so they could figure out where it was from that. So,
poor observer number three.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not
the best job.
They had to draw straws on that, did they? Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was how that was worked out.
Yeah, having to actually go outside. This is interesting. Okay. We've got a copy of Protect and Survive. Could you sort of quickly explain what that was?
Protect and Survive was a government-issued booklet that went out to all the households about how to plan for a nuclear war and how to try and survive it. So it's things such as stockpiling food, water, and making what they called a fallout room. So usually either an inner sanctum, as it were, so like under the stairs. I'll just let that beep.
This is a test message for Royal Observer Corps personnel only.
And, so sort of hide under the stairs and give it your best chance you can. I think the main problem with that is with a bomb going off, a nuclear blast going off, there's not going to be much left of your house.
There's a picture here, and there's a drawing in Protect and Survive of a house being slightly damaged. Tree falling over, garage a bit crushed, but you know, one side of the house seems to be okay. So giving a bit of hope there. And then this is the Protect and Survive picture. And then we look here. This book that I've got here in my hand, what's this?
This is a government issued booklet which was I'm just trying to see if there's a date. It's for Manual of Civil Defence on Nuclear Weapons, and it was not for public eyes at the time. It was it was restricted. This is from the 1965, and there's a picture of a house there. I'll let you explain that.
Yeah, there's a picture of a house here, actual photograph, and it's in the middle of exploding, and there's not going to be much left of it except dust. So that's the reality that the people down here that the Royal Observer Corps would have known about. The next open day will be on the 27th and 28th of July. More details on their Facebook page. Just look up Cookfield Nuclear Bunker. Most of the time the bunker is empty, except on open days. That's it for this one. We'll try and bring you a new podcast as often as we can. We'll announce when episode 3 is out through Twitter and Facebook, so please follow us to stay in the loop. I'll leave you with some of the rehearsals from Cookfield Carries On. The cast are in operatic mode, singing about a broken curtain of all things. It's a shame we couldn't make the final night, but if the rehearsals were anything to go by, it was a good show. Until next time, bye!